So we're talking about winning or losing at life. And last week, if you were not here, you can get a copy of the message and just kind of bring it up speed. You can go online and find it there as well. And it's just if you don't have something to listen to as you're driving down the road or if that's not primarily what you need. So just whatever fits your bill. But we talked about the three primary battles that we have as believers in our life and just living the life that Jesus Christ has called us to live. And so at the end of that, you know, I talked about, okay, this is what God is wanting us to do. This is how he wants us to live our life. And these are three common battles. They're common to every one of us. Me, you, doesn't matter who. All of us battle those three. And so what I want to do today, you know, it's like I know what I should do, but what about getting the power to do what I need to do? And so what I'm talking about today in the second part of winning and losing at life is how do I get the ability to do what I know God wants me to do? Because all of us feel that weakness from time to time, that inability, that stumble, that potential to stumble in our lives. And so if you look at the top of your life point outline, I went ahead and I just printed these up for you. I hope you always bring God's word. You can certainly open it up if you'd like to just read it there. But let me just read the two from last week. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Paul told this young pastor Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. And that's just a challenge to Timothy about where he was. Why? Because where he was ministering was a difficult ministry. There are many battles that churches and pastors fight from time to time. And where Timothy was a difficult place. Of course, it's a young congregation. And so just being in a culture that was anti-Christian was a tough thing. I'm sure many of you feel that today more and more in American culture. Would you agree with that? You find yourself not in the flow of the way that culture is going. And so all of us need to hear that from time to time. Hey, fight the good fight of faith. Don't throw in the towel. You know, fight this fight. Okay, I hear that. And then he comes back again in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26. And he talks to this church at Corinth and he says, I want to tell you how I live my life. And he said, the way I live my life as an apostle, as well as a follower of Jesus Christ, is I fight to win. In other words, what he simply said is, which is what ought to be in my mind, it ought to be in yours as well, I want to so live the Christian life that, number one, I don't dishonor the Lord Jesus by failing to live an exemplary life, but I want to also... I want to do well, and I want to be able to encourage others. I want to fight to win, and I want to help others to win. And so then it comes to the thing of, well, how do you do that? Okay, you've admonished us. We need to fight to win. We need to fight the good fight of faith because we're up against incredible odds in this world with people who don't know Christ. How do you do that? All right, so he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, this is in the New Century Version, it says this. Paul says, though we live in the world, we do not fight in the same way. We don't fight those emotional, those spiritual, those battles the way that the world fights. We don't handle life the way the world handles life. He says, we fight with weapons that are different from those that the world uses. Our weapons, watch this, have power from God. So that's kind of the groundwork here. Let me say to all of you this morning, good morning and welcome to the hill. I'm glad, I'm blessed that all of you are here. Now here's the deal. Our text displays the truth that the Bible has a lot to say about the battles that we go through. That God is totally aware of what you and I are up against in this world. There have been a lot of battles in my life. And I know there have been a lot of battles in your life as well. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to have a fight on your hands in this world. Would you agree with that? We do. Sometimes we see it coming, sometimes we don't see it coming. Here's the question of the day. Are you winning? Do you feel like that the average in your life shows I am winning these battles? Now, all of us have setbacks. All of us have lost battles with our flesh. I have, you have. That is a common experience of all of us. But my question is this. Are we at a place in our life, are you at a place in your life where you're winning more battles than you're losing? Are you winning more than you're losing? Or do you feel like your life is just like an episode? It's like a story of losing. And I just keep losing in my walk with the Lord. I find myself perpetually coming back saying, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I blew it. You know, how do you see yourself in life? I thought about, with regards to this, I think about our country. All of us here, we are a church, I think, full of patriots. We love our country. We love America. We love the fact that we are a land of the free, or have been, and a home of the brave. And I think there's a couple of reasons why America has been successful in all of her battles, and that leads to why I can be successful and how I can be successful in my life as a believer. And I think America has been a winner because of the favor of heaven. The favor of heaven. And I think the favor of heaven has been upon this country because of the people who founded it. I'm not saying that they were perfect. You know, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that at the core of their being, there were men and women who were chasing after God. They didn't come to America looking for gold. They came to America looking for God. They came to America looking for a place where they could worship the Lord and they could teach His word and find freedom. And I think the national success of our country is written down in Scripture because the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Right? Amen? And so when I look back, I just think that is the history of our country. I pray to God we don't lose that because I think that is the key to us being the powerful nation that we have been and the war-winning nation that we've been. But I think also the second reason that we have won so many battles is because of superior firepower. I think the blessing of God has made America a war horse. And no country's been able to stand up against our firepower and our ability. And that brings me back to you and me. All right? Look in your Life Point Outline, if you would, look at the insight that's there. The side with the best weapons usually wins the day. Would you agree with that? I mean, unless there's just a dumb general who just leads his people into a massacre, if you've got superior firepower, you win. And what I want you to understand is this. God says there are weapons that only a child of God has that nobody else has got. There are weapons that God has made available to me and available to you as His sons and His daughters that the people of this world do not have. And what I want to do this morning, I want to give you the three weapons. I gave you three battles. Let me just give you three weapons. You know, the best sermons have threes in them. I don't know why, but they do. And so I want us to consider three weapons that every child of God has who is truly born again. And of course, that's what makes them a child of God. In our fight with hell and the world and the flesh, all right? So what are they? Number one, God's word builds my faith. God's word builds my faith. Here's what the Bible says. Without what is it impossible to please God? Remember? Yeah, without faith. In my walk with the Father, God says there's one indispensable element if you're going to walk with me. And it goes all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve didn't believe God. Eve believed Satan's lie that God was keeping something from her. Remember that? And because of that, that's what induced her to eat of the forbidden tree that God said, don't eat it. You don't need it. It's mine. Leave it alone. Because if you disobey me, in that day you shall surely die. And Eve ate of that. Why? Because she didn't believe God. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe when God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? You see, because one of the things that the Father's wanting to know ever since the Garden of Eden is, do you believe me? Do you believe me even when it doesn't make any sense? Do you believe me even when it's dark? Do you believe me when everything is stacked up against you? And it looks like you can't hear from me, you can't see me, you can't sense me being there. Do you still trust me? You see, that is the issue. How did we get that faith? Because it's a hard road down here at times. Would you agree with that? Man, it can get really, really dark. So dark, you can't hardly see the hand in front of your face. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, what have we just been told? Here's what God has said. The more I read and the more I listen to and the more I am under the preaching and the exposition of the infallible word of God, the more faith you're going to have in your life. And why is that important? Because the Bible says faith has power. Faith is how I plug into God and everything that the Father has got for me. Do you know what Jesus taught us about faith? Jesus himself said, understand this, faith can move mountains. You ever had some mountains in your life? Some big ones? Huh? Let me tell you something. I got tested, you know, and I know there's a lot of you guys that have had prostate cancer. I know that. Many of you come and told me, you know, Pastor, I've been there and done that and everything. You know, well, quite frankly, I had to learn to trust God afresh. Lord, I didn't see this coming. I never saw that was in the manual. You know, I thought as your hired holy man, I'd kind of get a ride on this. You know, I'll go to the hospital and pray for them. I can believe for them. Jesus said, faith can move mountains. There are some mountains that come up against you. And the only way you keep from being overwhelmed is our faith. By faith, Moses, the Bible says, left the kingdom halls of Egypt, the wealthiest nation on the planet in that day. All the wealth was going to be his. The notoriety, the splendor, the position, the world power. And it was by faith he said, I'm leaving that. And I'm choosing to walk this way. That is huge. Do you understand that is huge? And we see it every day when we see our sons and our daughters turn away from making a lot of money in corporate America and saying, I want to follow the Lord Jesus, and he has called me to go and spread his gospel in other parts of the world. Huh? Right. Bless God for those kids of ours who do that. He turned his back on Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He brought water out of a rock, for crying out loud, twice. That is absolutely huge. Daniel prayed to God when everybody else was shutting down, right? Flung open his windows. And just because he simply said, it's not that I'm fighting you, I'm just not going to turn my back on God. And I'm not going to do it. And because of that, he saw the mouths of lions closed all night long. When his three friends got stiff-kneed and said, we will not bend our knee to anybody but our God. We will not bow to anybody. They walked out of a blazing fire unharmed. And all I'm simply saying is, all of us have got battles in our life. And I'm telling you, God says, if you want me to show up, don't turn your back on me. And you walk by faith. And here's the insight. You'll never receive from God what you can't conceive by faith. And God will put some fantastic dreams in your heart. Dreams of what he wants to do through you. Jesus taught us we get to determine what God does in our lives. Do you know that? Jesus said, you get to determine what I do for you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Two blind men said, Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus said, this is what he said, do you believe I can help you? Do you hear what he said? Do you believe I can help you? And they said, we do. And then he gave this eye-opening statement. He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. You know what God, the Lord is saying, I get to choose what God does in my life. And as your shepherd, I am looking, and I look every Sunday at what my Father has done. All of you, everybody at the next two services, it is not a testimony to me. It is Him. It is God who is looking every day for a man and a woman He can bless. A man and a woman who will keep a door open for God to come into this world to do what only God can do. There is so much God would do that He doesn't do because we lack faith in Him. And here's the truth in your outline. Faith can cause miracles, accomplish the impossible, and do what others will never see done. I don't ever want to be a preacher that said I lived all my life and I never saw the hand of God. Lord, deliver me from that. And I don't want you to live a life where you go home never having seen the hand of God work powerfully in your life. And the answer to that is your faith. Faith puts the fight in my soul and in your soul. It is because faith is the source of spiritual backbone. It is your faith. And here's the insight. Faith is not just an offensive weapon. It is to create the future dreams and goals of your life. Faith's also a defensive weapon against doubt, despair, and difficulty. Ephesians 6, verse 16. Now just listen. In addition to all of these, Paul said, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now listen, one of the reasons why many of us fail is because we got harpooned. We got harpooned by an arrow from Lucifer, or one of his imps. And you got wounded, and you and I go down. And it's because we're not using the shield of faith. Faith is my shield against the fiery arrows of Lucifer that come against my faith and my willingness to follow him. And what are those arrows? You might want to write this down somewhere in your notes. His arrows are those things that fight us. Ideas of doubt. I don't know if this is ever going to work out. Discouragement. Depression. Ideas of I can't do it. And so what God is simply saying is, the Word of God has given you that internal knowing. God says when you're in the Word gives you this internal knowing that God is with you. And what that means is, no matter what's happening in your life, whether you've got trouble, or you've got loss, or you've got illness, or you've got struggle, by faith, you know that doesn't mean God has left you. Just because you've got trouble doesn't mean God is not with you. Just because you are struggling, just because things are going against you, does not mean God hates you. It means you are in a broken world. And there is a devil. And he opposes you. And so the truth in your outline, when doubt rises up, you need faith in your fight for your soul. And where does faith come from? How do you get it and keep it and enlarge it? You get faith from God's word, the Bible. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. You know what that means? Listen, as you worship each week, and listen to the exposition of God's word. The more you sit under the instruction of God's word, the more your faith grows. That's what God is saying. Okay? This is not rocket science. But sometimes we don't see it. Here's the insight. Inability to live the Christian life is directly connected to a consistent failure to hear the word of God. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith only comes one way. It comes by the word. It comes by the word. Hearing the word of God. You will never keep faith alive and in your soul without a constant intake of God's word like you're getting this morning. Okay, that's point one. Does that make sense? All right, here we go. Number two, God's word gives me faith. Number two, God's people sustain me. This is the power of God. My life has been a series of battles. And I know I'm not alone. I know the same is true for you. I know that your life is no different. Here's the truth. We lose battles for one consistent reason: lack of support. I'm very grateful for the elders in our church. I'm very grateful for the staff that I've got. And the reason is because I realize not everybody can handle when the hired holy man is having a hard time. And the thing is, I've got to have somebody to talk to. Do you understand that?
Amen.
Huh? And I believe that the battles of life that we lose from time to time come about, if we're honest, because we fought them all by ourselves. We were lone islands, ashamed to talk to anybody about it. We didn't want anybody to know we were struggling. And that's how Satan got us. That's why we went down. Nobody else knew about these internal battles going on in me and in you with the world, the flesh, and the devil. God never intended for me or you to live the Christian life in isolation. You just won't do it well. The enemy is formidable. Pastors fall every day. Huh? Churches are closing their doors at a horrendous rate in America. God has given you and me the spiritual family. He has given us the church. And that's why around here, you will hear a lot about life groups. Because we understand as a church, that you need to get other people to help you share the load, to encourage you in the battles of your life. Listen to Philippians 1, verse 30. We are in this fight together. That's what Paul said to the church at Philippi. He said, brothers, we're in this fight together. He said, you, me, we're in this together. You know, soldiers never go into a war zone alone. They always go with a platoon or a team, at least a buddy. I mean, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Some of you are saying, Lone Ranger? Like, sorry you never got to really know him. Here. So in your outline, let me give you a note to self, all right? The note to self is this: never fight life battles by myself. Just give yourself that note. Just don't fight battles by yourself. If you're a man, you need a group of men. If you're a woman, you need women around you. That's why we hound you, badger you, and talk about life groups till you just want to yell, all right already, stop it. I'll join one. I'll do it. Good. No, if we can needle you. We have over 800 church members and friends in a life group week in and week out, except for holidays in the summer. Over 800 people. That's a network and a system where you meet people, you build relationships, and you gain support for the struggles of life. That's what we're about. Hebrews 10:25. You should not stay away from the church meetings as some are doing. Instead, you should meet together, listen, and encourage each other. That is the model Catherine and I led our fellowship into years ago. And I believe it is the biblical model of what? Large group worship, like we're having here, and then small group fellowship and Bible study. That's what you see in Acts 2. Large group worship, small group gatherings, all right? So the Bible teaches us not to stay away from church gatherings. And here's what I know. Life is hectic. Would you agree with that? I mean, it almost goes without saying. Life is crazy hectic. And I understand. And maybe all too often, if you're not careful, you will begin to let the busyness of your life and the demands of your life lead you and your family into a lifestyle that is unbiblical. You will let the hecticness of this crazy world we live in and the demands of life lead you into a lifestyle where your worship is every other week, once every 3 weeks, once a month. Let me just draw a parallel. Carry that over into your eating and see how well you do. I'm only going to eat once every other week. I'm only going to eat once every 3 weeks. I'm only going to eat once a month. We will bury you. Right? But why we think it's going to work with our soul, I don't know. Here's the insight. The faith of many professing Christians stinks to a lost world because they're not getting cleansed enough. I mean, you just think about it. If you didn't take a bath except once every 3 weeks, we could still be around you. Lord, have mercy. You know, you walk around and the flowers wilt. And, you know, you begin to think, wow, nobody's coming to church. Then you look around and you realize, no, nobody's sitting around you because you stink. And what God is simply saying is, when we don't worship Him on a regular basis, our faith stinks to a lost and dying world. Because our behavior is confusing. We're not living the Christian life. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know what that means? Every one of us needs a brain trust of believers who build you up and don't tear you down. So God says, here's how I give power in your life. You need to hear the Word of God every week, because the Word builds your faith and that gives you strength. And God's people give you support. And then lastly, number three, God's Spirit gives you power. The Spirit of God gives me power. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, then the power of the Holy Spirit is not working in your life. You've got to have the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says, within you. So here's the insight in your outline. In the battles of 2018, for the rest of this year, the next 6 months that are out there, you need a power greater than yourself if you're going to win. 1 John 4, verse 4. John writes, he said, "You, my children, belong to God. So, because of that, God's Spirit is in you, and He is more powerful than the spirit that is in the world." You know what that means? That means before the summer's over, before June is over, you are going to need to remember, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because the world's going to come against us. Satan will come against us. And week by week, I watch this culture move more and more away from the traditional biblical values. And what breaks my heart is that the country I love is turning her back on the God I know. And this is the God who gave one warning. And His warning is this: do not move the ancient landmarks that I have established. And we do it all the time. He said, life is sacred, and we're killing babies. He said, marriage is holy between a man and a woman. And we have turned a blind eye and said, gay marriage is perfectly fine. We have embraced foreign gods and foreign religions. Doesn't mean they don't have the freedom to be in this country of freedom, but it never said that we were supposed to embrace that. God is all about freedom, isn't He? And so I welcome them, but not for us to embrace. And so here's the truth. Our culture is at war against God's values. Boundaries are crossed, warnings ignored, declared sins embraced. And our Father tells us how we are to live in these days. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's just I just want to give you a pump up this morning, and me as well. Because you see, the thing is, we've got God's Word, right? And Revelation 22 and 20 says, we win. Revelation 22 and 20 says, God wins. God said, I am in control. This is his universe. It is not ours. God, no man or nation is in control. Now, there are going to be skirmishes. There are going to be setbacks. But the end is set. God wins. And if you're a gambler, and I hope you're not, because there's a whole other message in that. But if you are, bet on God, not America, and not some politician as being the answer, right? Because God is our hope. The Bible says our weapons are not political. Our strategy isn't financial. Our weapons are spiritual. God's word gives me faith. His people give me support. And his spirit gives me power. Him working in me to do what I cannot do on my own. Here's what I want to leave you with this morning. Psalm 44, verse 3. Now just listen. Our ancestors, David writes, who followed God, did not conquer, listen, by their own strength and skill. That is so good because I need to hear that. You need to hear. Neither will you the rest of this year. You will not conquer. You will not win by your own power. You will not do it in your own strength or your own skill. This is what he says. But by God's power, his mighty power, and because he smiled on them and favored them. Our success in this life is because of the favor of God on us. That's why we make it. That is how we live this life. And the more you depend on God's Spirit, the stronger you'll be to face the battles in your life. So how do you know? How do you know if you're depending on God? How do you know if you're depending on Him? Well, how much are you praying about the problems in your life? So here's I think, is the last thing I want to give you, the insight in your outline. Prayer is the sign that we're depending on God's power and not our power. Prayer is that sign. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, what? Little power. No prayer, no power. See how it goes? One last word. I want you to think about, as we're in the midst of this year, what do you want written on your tombstone? You know, I've told you often, if I go first, I want Catherine to put on there, he served the purpose of God in his generation, and then he died. I mean, to me, that's it. That's the deal. You could do Paul's epitaph. What would be on the tombstone for the Apostle Paul? I think it's 2 Timothy 4:7. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Huh? Amen. Do you know, when I die and I stand before the Lord, that I was the mayor or the president or had my name on the cover of Time magazine? What is that going to matter? It's irrelevant. Doesn't mean a thing. I want to be able to say, when I stand before the Father, I didn't quit. I didn't walk off. I finished. And see, every one of us, you've got a choice to make. And I want to challenge you. We're not going to do it perfectly. But let's run this race together. Amen. Let's run this race. Let's encourage one another. Let's be faithful to the Word. Let's depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. That all of us will agree together, Pastor John, I want to stand before the Lord and be able to say, Father, I didn't run from the fight. I didn't forfeit the fight. I didn't give up in the middle of the fight. I finished the race. I finished the race all the way to the end. And that means that I worship Him. I put myself under the preaching of the Word. I am in fellowship and I walk with the children of God, who come alongside me and give me strength and enable me. I have to have somebody I can talk to. I have to have somebody to help me on this journey. And I live by the power of the Spirit of God who dwells in my heart. And if you have never given your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to bow your heads for just a minute because we're about to close. In front of you is a connect card. And I want to help you with a prayer. It's the same prayer I prayed when I invited Christ into my life. And I want to give it to you. And I hope that you'll take that connect card And since we've already taken up the offering, if you'll go by the information desk and just turn it into them and say, give this to Pastor John. But that you'll let me know that you prayed the prayer with me this morning because you want God living in your life. You realize how much you need help to do life well. And so if you realize you've never committed your heart and life to Jesus Christ, then with our heads bowed, here's what I prayed, and you can pray this prayer in your heart to Him. And what it means is, I'm making a decision. I want to follow you. I want my life to be in obedience to you, Lord. And so, Father, thank you for speaking to me today. Thank you for this message from your word that has awakened me. I realize I'm living apart from you. You have shown me my sinfulness. I don't want to die without you. Like the thief on the cross who called out to the Lord Jesus, I cry out to you and say, Lord, remember me. Forgive me of my sin. I turn my life over to you. I want you to live in me. Forgive me. Take up residence in me. Help me to live for you. Show me the path you want me to walk on. And I will seek to put myself under the preaching of the word. I will seek to find a group of men or women, whatever it may be, that can be an encouragement to me. And I will seek a life of obedience to the Holy Spirit who can strengthen me to live for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a joy to be with you. The announcements are going to be starting. Please watch that. And I hope that you'll share with